neighbor. I was telling the vecino. I was telling the vecina. Yeah, and we're taking photos, and some guy just is constantly around us, and he's giving me his glasses and all this shit. And then she looks at me and she goes, "Yeah, he came up to me. He's like, can you share him, please?" And she's like, "It's up.
That brother's starving.
It's up to him." And I just kept laughing, and like he kept like advancing, and I'm like dancing, and I'm cool, but I just look at him. I'm like, "Dude,
come on." I'm sorry. Yeah, like
you know, I'm straight. You can already smell
you
it.
No, I thank you. Smell but, it? Welcome back to the Bored with Nelly experience. You're coming fresh. Fresh off Burning Man. Cheers, Seek.
Cheers.
A regular on the show now?
Yeah.
Who?
You.
Me? Well, I won't ever hear Milos is here. Poor guy can't get a solo pod.
I have a solo pod. My first one was solo.
We did it in your house.
Those were early stages of the Nelly podcast.
Bro, you for eating food in the middle of me talking.
Whatever.
He brought like the thing that I brought today with the food. Yeah. He was like literally.
We didn't know what we were doing, dude. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just.
Holding a mic like this.
I was being a good host.
Also, he was a host. Now he's demoted.
No, I was being a good host because we did it at my house.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's like, just a custom for me to bring food out at my house.
That was so bad. I brought one mic and I held it.
And the camera was like against the window, so it was all kind of silhouette-y, but it was a vibe.
Yeah. All right. Let's call it that.
And now we're.
Now we're here.
Now we're using your studio. And
with no windows.
With no windows. Just no, a sketchy basement.
I fucking love it. I love just talking shit. I want to hear stories.
Like, my thing was if I would have saw Schultz like there, I wouldn't have even fanboyed or anything. Yeah. I just would have been like, yo, I was like, oh, my buddy works with you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's such
it's
a
like,
flex.
I'd be like, oh, my sick. Like, we went to film school together. And he'd be like, no way. And then, you know, I'd just be chill.
Schultz would have been more like, yeah. Oh,
cool.
Yo, yeah.
Leave me the
Alex
fuck alone.
Alex would have been like, oh, that's my guy.
Sure. But I wouldn't have came in and be like, oh, yo, I would have came in like fucking flying in, you know.
As they do in Burning Man.
Like, yo, what's up? I like your pod, motherfucker. It would have been like a whole, you know. I'm sure he wouldn't have been like. Yeah, he probably would have been like, I don't know who we are, but I love it.
Yeah. Like, that's acid?
That's the vibe there. Everyone's just way too excited to
bro,
see
bro, my thing with Burning Man, so, like you said, there's like 80,000 people there.
Yeah, right? I think this year was 80,000. I think, like, the average cap is like 75,000.
Yeah. That's still crazy amounts. Like, I was watching videos. Now, is it, like, separate camps or something? Like, how does that work? So, what's the camp?
Dude, it's like, so it's 75,000 people in one location. It's one city.
Yeah.
There's a big perimeter. But basically, it's like a half circle.
Okay.
It's a half circle, and you got roads that go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, all the way down to L sometimes. Okay. Depends. And then you have 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock, and it goes 2, 215, 230, 245, 3, all the way to 10.
Okay.
So you can say, like, oh, my camp, because, like, you can solo camp, you do your own thing, or you can be part of a camp, which is, like, anywhere from, I don't know, 10 to 100 people. Like, there's big camps. And it's just, like, the longer you go, if you can bring like the money, the stages and stuff, they'll give you more tickets to make your camp. But basically, camps are just plotted so you can say like we stayed at 8:15 and J.
Okay.
So if someone's like, "Oh, where are you at? 8:15 and J," and you just go to J 8:15 and you look around, you still gotta look around because it's like it doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of like it's very well organized. That's why you have that, like, if you look at a map, it's like this big semicircle right in the middle, center camp. Then you have the man, which is in the middle of, like, the circle.
Okay.
And then the temple, which is at the top. And then there's art scattered all around the playa, which is, like,
it extends out. Why is it called the playa, by the way? There's no water.
No, because playa's beach. Mr. Studying Spain.
You're in the middle of the desert.
A beach without water? What do you mean?
Middle of the fucking desert, bro. The last place you're going to find
playa
water.
Playa is, like, sand, like sand?
Is that like taunting you guys? Like, you're fucking suffering out here. Here's some water.
Dude, the amount of times where you're, like, deep playa, middle day, and you would kill for an ice cube or something.
Yeah.
And then someone will roll up with like this true story. Some Russian guy rolls up in a bike and goes, "Hey, do you guys want some ice cream?" Opens his back cooler and has like snow cones.
No.
You gotta pay for it?
Dude, so there's no selling anything at Burning Man.
Really?
It's total decommodification. There's no logos, no selling, absolutely no money. It's all gifting and trading.
Wow.
It's completely free. Wild.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah, completely.
I thought it would have been like money.
No, no, no.
You're absolutely. Like, my guy, I stand with Ukraine. I can't take it.
There's one thing that you pay for.
Is the ticket.
That's it.
And you can buy ice. So there's three Arctic camps. And they sell ice for your cooler.
Sounds like a video game.
It does sound like a weird video game.
It is a video game. It's another planet, dude. It's like, someone said it really well. It's an adult playground where you can be whoever you want to be and no one's going to judge you.
We don't have a lot of those.
No one's going to judge you. You peel off all the layers. Right. Doesn't matter what you do in life. You go there for that week and you just be a good person and have fun. It's actually super inspiring. Like,
what's the origin?
Yeah.
What's the origin? Where does this
from start? What I know, it started in San Francisco on the beach.
Yeah.
And it was around 84, 86.
Oh, is that old?
Yeah.
Man, that's pretty young.
I thought it was like a couple, like 10 years ago. Like that's why my mind was at.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the actual Burning Man. Like I didn't hear about it until like 10 years ago.
True.
So like I've read a little bit about it, but I don't like, don't quote me on any of this. But basically what it seems like is like these like Silicon Valley or like these like people that are artsy but also like grinding in life in San Francisco. We're like, let's fucking go this weekend on the beach and have a big bonfire and have fun.
Let's turn off our brains for
exactly a week. And it kind of like built and people were like, wow, this is really cool. We can make something. And then they formed like the Burning Man. They formed a committee and now it's an all year organization that I think has like 30 workers that are like planning for next year. They have a lot of like humanitarian projects. Like it's actually a really cool organization. And
this is the opposite, by the way, of Bohemian Grove.
Oh god,
do you know about Bohemian Grove? No. Come on, bro. Bohemian Grove is this like sacred fucking weird ritual where they go in the woods and sacrifice a weird god. No, not kids, but actually maybe
they might.
But it's like,
they might.
Like
you don't know,
it's like presidents go there, Reagan goes there, like it's fucking like the elite, like Illuminati type shit people go there.
And like that,
but this sounds like a good version.
This is a good version of it. And like Elon Musk is a huge burner. Like
really,
yeah.
Was he there?
Probably.
Yeah, you just did too many people.
Too many people. But like a lot of people go. Like if you're anyone in any industry, you're going like DJs. Like if you're not at Burning Man,
what are you doing?
No, no, seriously.
Like, if you're a DJ, not at Burning Man, what are you doing?
It's really hard to explain, but yeah, man, it's just like the most. Yeah, they have like 10 principles. So like I said, everything's free.
Yeah,
other than ice, whatever. But like 10 principles. And
how do you, food, by the way, how do you,
you have to, so
you have to bring your own food.
One of the principles is self-reliance.
Okay. I gotcha.
You got to come prepared to survive in the desert by yourself. Mm. And the idea is if everyone does that and you're gifting and sharing, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of these camps, like the Mayan Warrior Camp is like an old camp and they have an art car. So an art car is like a massive moving stage that rides around the playa. You never know where they are. You got to find them.
Okay.
And when you find them, they'll have like these parties. So the Mayan Warrior one is run by the Mexican cartel.
And like what?
They got
I did not.
They got a lot of money.
What just happened?
So like that. They,
I love that the cartel loves to get down. Have a good time.
No, so
I didn't know they were giving though. I couldn't get giving from the
dude. So example camps like that, like mine or whatever, they have so much money. Like they'll do like free lunches every day. You can just show up from like 12 to 2. Example, like there's one called the Crates, and from 12 to 2 they served food every day. So like you'd be like super hungry. It's like, oh, let's go to 2 and 15 at the Crates. You go there, some topless girl's giving you frozen grapes while you wait in line for food.
Her own grapes? Or?
Beautiful, right? And you're just like, oh, I love this place already. You're eating frozen grapes. You get food. Once you're done food, some guy goes, would you like some ice cream for dessert? And you get a huge Haagen-Dazs bowl. Like, you're just
it's like an all-inclusive resort.
It's like, what is happening? And it's all free. Because some of these people pump big money, right? These big camps.
Yeah.
And then you have people like me who go solo camp.
What's the incentive to that? Well, there's no incentive for them. It's just to have a good time.
Dude, it's just...
That's the craziest part to me.
The incentive is because when you come out of this, after this week, like for me, I get so inspired and I, like... There's okay, so like
the cartels come out of it, they're like, we're gonna murder a million people this year, not like two, we're gonna go 1 million.
In media school, we learned that like 9 out of 10 stories are negative, dude. The world's going through some shit right now, and it's hard, dude. I'm a positive person, but it's been hard the last couple of years, right? So here, it's so positive that it's worth it. Like, if I was a millionaire, I would dump so much money into Burning Man. Mm. Like, I've donated to Burning Man myself. Like,
as a sponsor type thing?
No, there's no sponsors.
No, but I mean, like, what are you donating money for? You're saying go have fun?
I would bring my camp. I would make an art car. I would, like, bring shit.
So Burning Man itself doesn't make money either?
No, no. It's a nonprofit organization. The money from the tickets go to facilitate the infrastructure, which is washrooms, they got to do bathrooms. They have
emergency support, whatever.
They got to organize. It's a fucking desert. They got to come there a month before. They got to build everything. Yeah. Then they got to tear down. And one of the principles is leave no trace. So when it's done, it's got to be as if we weren't there.
Yeah.
Like, and people are strict about it, which I love. Like, if you drop like something, you're picking it up. If I'm like, going, I see something, I'm picking it up. Like,
it's Japan.
So it's not like a regular festival. It's nothing like a festival.
It's funny. That's the one thing everyone talks about. So I took
the festival seems wrong.
I took my sister this year and her husband ended up coming as well. So
by the way, you're keeping track of time, right? I don't have the time.
Yeah, I can see over.
And I told him, and I was like, how fun after day two, I was like, how funny is it now when someone calls this a festival? And they just they give you this look. They're just like, like, dude, this is not a festival. This is like 100 festivals in one happening 24/7 for 8 days.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like music.
You're describing Neverland.
Music's a big part of it because music's awesome and people love it and whatever. But a festival, it doesn't even come close to it. This is literally a temporary city where you can do anything. Mm. Like, there's kids there, man.
There's kids there?
Yeah.
Really? I thought there was an age limit. I thought you could.
Yeah. Dude, there's a whole Instagram account called Baby Burners. Dude, there's kids there. Actually, crazy story. This is a great one.
Please.
This year, Burning Man 2022, I heard this while in line for ICE. First baby to be born in Black Rock City. So a woman was 26 weeks pregnant, premature birth, came out dead. They have a full army hospital. Rushed to the hospital. Women are fucking screaming, crying, whatever. They didn't have the whatever to resuscitate it.
Yeah.
Chopper comes from Reno. Baby goes up, survives. She's good. Birth certificate, birthplace, Black Rock City.
No way.
Dude, this chick's got like, or I think it's a girl, but
she gave birth to the next president.
Dude, they have like the ultimate card, like, where are you born? Black Rock City. It only exists 8 days a year.
When someone asks, like, where is it? You're like, well, it's not here right now, but four months away. Yeah. It'll be up there for a week.
It's definitely like, that's hard. So there are babies there. Like, so I'm saying, it can be family oriented. You don't have to like rave all night.
I really thought it was like that.
That's one culture of it.
Right.
Where like, I'm part of, you guys would probably, you know what I mean? Like, the boys that we hang out with are going to be at these sunrise sets and raves and whatever. But that's literally, like, I would say make 10% of it. There's a whole other, like, you can do whatever you want. They have a marathon. Day two, they have a full marathon. In the desert? And you get a medal, like, if you run 42K. Like, dude, you have everything.
I feel like they're trying to condense all of life's experiences into, like, a week. That's, like, a vibe I get.
Yes. And it's like a radical self-expression. So like, you want to wear whatever, you want to be naked, you want to do no judgment. And like, once you're there, you realize how like it doesn't matter. And then you like let loose.
You know what? Maybe that's the wrong way to describe it. Maybe it's not all of life's experiences, but it's all the emotions you go through in life. Because like, obviously a fucking being in a desert surrounded by a bunch of fucking people wearing weird outfits is not something you experience in life. No. But like, maybe like the roller coaster of emotions, all the shit that happens there, kind of as like a summary of life.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I've been single for quite a while, right?
By the way, the great transition. You've been single for quite some time. Yeah. You've done Burning Man single and with a companion. Talk to me about why doing it single is better.
Or is it better?
I don't know. It was a leading question.
So, dude.
No, I'm just kidding. Whatever.
No, it's okay. No, I actually talked about this.
Probably the good guy here. Fuck.
I talked about this.
A few more of these in the question.
With someone there, I talked to them about it. And it's like the first time I went, I was in love and it was like me and her against the world. And I didn't think it could get any better. Right. I thought that was the best week of my life. We were in love. We were experiencing Burning Man together. It was honestly perfect. Unreal.
But. That's the best. Yes, but.
There were times where I was like, I want to go there. But I know she doesn't want to go there.
Yeah.
Right. Like
the rave.
Like the sex dome, you know? Big orgy tent and stuff. Oh, there's sick. Everything, dude. Oh. Anything you can imagine. Example.
Let's not let's not broadly just go over that.
We'll come back to that.
We'll come back.
Will we forget? Okay, let's not forget about that.
I don't forget. I had questions about that anyway.
Okay,
we'll come back.
Carry on.
We'll come back.
Not the dome.
I don't want to forget.
So this year, I was like, oh my God, I'm going alone. Like,
I can go in an orgy.
I can do whatever I want, right?
Okay.
But then I end up meeting this girl. She like moved in next door. And
by the way,
it was like
the way he says moved in next door. He told me in the car as well.
I thought he meant in his real.
That's what I thought too. When someone
what
says,
are the odds?
I'm like, you don't live there. She didn't move next door.
I lived there for a day.
Yeah. When he described the story, I'm like, your neighbor in Windsor?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Wait, is that he meant like in his apartment or something? Like
my point is that like going alone is amazing because you're like so free to do whatever. But like we always say, the playa provides, and if it gives you whatever you need. And I guess because I've been single for a while, I needed someone to just like
vibe with,
yeah. And it happened. So I ended up having a similar experience with someone I had just met, and it was like even crazier because they're not your girlfriend or whatever you want to call it, but right. It's like happening, and you're like free, but also together, and
yeah.
So like,
did we have a similar conversation, by the way, about solo traveling?
Yes, yes, yeah, we had a similar convo. And listen, so
that's
like,
how you know we haven't found the right ones yet. Like, when
you're here trying. It is. So for the first 2 days, it was me and my sister. We'd party, whatever. And then she'd be like, "Hey, I'm going to sleep," and I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to solo." And I'd be like solo at the playa, and my thing, like, you want to gift something there, and like, my gift was doing portraits. So I would take portraits of people, take their email, and I'm gonna send it to them. Cause like the you can't bring a camera, like it's too dusty and like it's too much to worry about. Right. I was like, I'll take that on me. That's my gift to the people. And so I was taking photos and it was fun and I met people. And then there's at one point where I'm riding my bike and I'm like, this is really fun, but I'm kind of lonely. Like I'm meeting these people.
By the way, are you high in this?
Bike ride? No.
You're perfectly sober.
Perfectly sober.
Okay, just that's a big part. That's a big question. I think I mean, need to know my state of
having
mind.
Having the realization that you're lonely when you're sober is pretty common.
No, I for sure. But I'm saying like there's a different state of mind when you're like there high and everyone else around you is having a good time. Oh, yeah. And you see couples and
it's
like
not
that kind
even
of shit.
It's not even lonely. It's just like I realize that we're fucking social beings, and as much as we like being alone, I like my alone time. We're social beings, dude. Everything that you do that's really impressive, you need a team. Like we're very
you go out, drink with the boys. You need these little events.
That's why humans are better than animals because we're literally just social. Right. We work together and we can trust each other and build shit. So I was on this bike ride and I'm like, yeah, man, like it'd be nice to just have someone with me because my first experience it was always my girlfriend who was with me. Playa provides, baby. The next day, neighbor moves in.
Yeah.
Beautiful, gorgeous girl, super good soul, and we just clicked. And then since then, like, we still had our alone trips because whatever, like, go whatever. But you always had someone to come back to, and so it's the best.
Can I ask you a question off that then?
Yeah.
Did you take her to the sex dome?
We were going to go.
That's a great question.
We were going to go. She was totally down. But honestly, there's just so much happening and too much fun. We didn't have time. As crazy as it sounds.
Yeah, that sounds pretty outrageous. It's all right, next year.
Which is crazy because honestly, like,
she's moving at 7:30 instead of 7:15 next year. It's okay.
Like, my goal this year was definitely to go to that, but I honestly didn't miss it because I had way too much fun.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Because you know when you get busy in, like, real life shit, like, the last thing on your mind is just getting late. Like, you have something to focus on. You want to
do. I don't know, not about my mind, but I don't know what the
fear. You're really lonely then, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, was that one of the things where it's just like, I have so much shit going on right now, I'm so all preoccupied, it's like, I don't even want to think about getting late. Like,
100%, man. Yeah. Like, I would say I'm a pretty fucking horny guy, not gonna lie. But, like,
why did I get roasted for that and he didn't, bro? What the fuck?
I had a drink in my mouth.
Fuck you.
I missed the window of opportunity.
Which guy isn't horny? If you're not a horny guy, I gotta have some serious questions.
Exactly.
Come on.
I mean,
carry on.
Exactly. But, like, and I find that in my life in the past couple of years, it hasn't been a priority, to be honest.
Yeah.
And here, when I first got there, you see so many hot people and so many good and like so many naked people and so many that you're just like, like it's
something's
coming.
Gonna happen.
Oh, we're doing a
but you're also
soon.
You have so much given to you and it's so much fun that you don't think about it. It's not a priority, right. And you're so dirty and like we didn't shower for like you're so dusty and dirty.
You don't shower there?
Well, unless you have a rich and you have an RV with your own shower. No,
shut the
we
fuck
lived
up
in a
for
tent.
8 days, bro.
Dude, but so many people are like that. It doesn't even matter. And if you shower, you're dirty within an hour again.
Were we just talking about like this? Like if she would, like, if you notice, if
yeah, when you said you can't smell or taste anything.
What we do is. Baby wipes. You keep your private parts clean. You baby wipe, other than that, you don't shower, dude. You don't need to.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Fascinating. Very. Absolutely fascinating.
So, yeah, so that's not on your mind. But, you know, if it happens, gonna have this, it's great.
You're going to have this feeling when we do a little Portugal trip. Have you been to Portugal yet?
What, they stink in Portugal?
No, you fuck. No, like, the hot, the amount of hot people is actually, like, it gets, like, by the third day, you're like, whatever.
I don't want.
If I saw, like, a 10 here, I'd be like, holy fucking shit. There's a 10. There's a fucking 10. Everyone, look. In Portugal, me and my cousin went the second day, like, there's dimes coming in and out of the metro, and we're just like,
how's
your day, bro? Like, you know, we go on the beach? Like, yeah.
I don't want to sound like that guy, but
it's
I'm.
True.
Dude, the what's the word I'm looking for? Density of hot people.
Yes,
Burning Man,
that's a great word.
Through the roof.
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
right.
To now, get are there, they hot because you're in this whole positive mindset? They're just everyone's just good looking.
Listen,
or are they hot?
Half of LA is there. People that go there are hot usually well off because to get there you need a lot of money.
Yeah,
right?
It's like fucking Michigan of like University.
How much
of,
does
like,
it take? Tickets like $600 or some shit like that.
Yeah, like tickets range. So they range from like, let's say 200 to 2000, but that's just the ticket. We're talking, you need a place to live. Like you need an RV or a tent. Yeah. You need food. You need to get there. Dude, we drove 36 hours to get there.
What the fuck?
You
know
what I mean? You go to like University of Michigan or like Ann Arbor, you're like, wait a minute.
It's a lot of money. So everyone who's there has money and let's not lie. Money is beautiful.
It helps.
I saw a woman that are 50 that I was taking portraits of. They're like posing and stuff, and I'm just like, you're so beautiful. Like, that's not normal. Like, if they walked through Windsor, I'm telling you, if they walked through, every single person would just be like, who the fuck is that? They're like supermodel status.
Wow.
And they're just a random chick from Turkey who fucking came there at 50 years old and is, you know, ex-model. Yeah, it was unreal. And like, holy shit. A photographer was dope too, because like, I've taken a lot of photos of people who don't know what they're doing, and it's cool. But now, this week,
everyone knew what they're doing?
Not everyone.
But a good amount.
90% of the people. And I would just be like, okay, let's go. And they would just be posing. And I'm just like, wow, this is so easy for me. Boom, boom. And they're just going all this stuff. They know where the sun is. Like
America's Next Top Model. You're gorgeous. You're gorgeous.
Yeah, I was
keep
just
doing
like,
what
yes,
you're doing.
Yes.
Turned it. Yeah, beautiful. Love what
it
you're doing.
It was unreal to actually. To actually.
He's a photographer. You never know.
Yeah, with that accent.
To actually fucking get.
You should have
like,
turned into a gay photographer just for the shit photo shoot.
Dude. How many tits did you see?
A lot.
And how many tits did you photograph?
A lot.
Nice.
Yeah, I have at least like 10 different sets.
10 different sets?
It's.
I call them sets.
Well, they come in twos, baby. No, you know what's good too when you talk about gay. You don't have to like sets. the amount of gay people there is pretty wild too. Like, and everything's cool and open. And like being hit on by a gay guy is pretty funny.
Bro, I've always said this though. Listen, being hit on by a gay guy, you know you're good looking.
It's a compliment. Yeah. I don't like. I love it because I'm like okay. Like,
let me tell you. Can I sidetrack a little bit?
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, I went out here, and I somehow. Was going out, wasn't even thinking about it. It was like some friend's birthday. And then they're like, oh, you know, clear the dance floor. We have a drag show. I'm like, all right.
Hell yeah.
Clear the dance floor. I start, like, I go talk to some chick, whatever. The performers, I don't know what the word pronoun correct one here is, start going on stage. Like, all right, give me some energy, guys. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'll give you some energy. All right. Turns right around, looks me right in the fucking eyes. Oh, you're hot. I was like, Come here. Right here. Bring that shit.
No.
I was going to pay you for that service for free.
Gay guys are a lot more aggressive than girls. They will tell you right to your face.
But I was like,
you got fucking
I was talking to a chick, so it was such a massive. I was talking to a chick, and she's just like, damn, like.
There was one place called the Casbah. There was one place called the Casbah. It's like this really tall, skinny pyramid.
Okay.
And it's really nice because we were at 8:15 and it's around 9:30 or something like that. And it's nice for a locator. When you're in the ply, you're like, ooh, there it is as a green laser at night. So you're like, oof, I'm going to go. I know where I am. And Casbah had this really sick sunrise set. And we were like taking photos and me and my girl were there. My playa girl.
Your neighbor.
Your
neighbor. Please call her your neighbor.
My neighbor. I was telling the vecina. Mi vecina. Yeah. And we're taking photos. And some guy just is constantly around us. And he's giving me his glasses and all this shit. And then she looks at me and she goes, yeah, he came up to me. He's like, can you share him, please? And she's like, it's up.
That brother's starving. It's
up to him. And I just kept laughing. And like, he kept like advancing. And I'm like dancing and I'm cool. But I just look at him. I'm like, dude.
Come on. I'm sorry. Yeah, like
you know, I'm straight. You can already smell
you
it.
No, thank you.
Having said that night, I didn't capitalize with this one chick. I was looking back in my mind. I'm like, damn, that drag show person was really down. I'm like, that was a sitter. You know, not that I swing that way, but I'm saying if there was a layup, it was a good. Oh, yeah. It was an open three, but an open three is not a guaranteed 3 points.
Yo, let me. Here's a.
Neither's a layup. Though.
Sorry, I went.
No, but it's a high probability.
Yeah, high probability. Just
100%. Here's a great story that I heard 4 years ago. The first time I went to the Burn, this was my second. Some guy, like I said, not a lot of people shower, right? So some guy didn't have a shower. And he's at some party.
So we have to prep like downtown.
And these two guys who are like 40 in their 40s come up to this guy, and he's like, he was actually our neighbor 4 years ago.
Your other neighbor.
Yeah, he was from I think Colorado. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
And he goes, he like sits down and he's like smiling and he's really clean. And I'm like, dude, what happened? He goes, dude, I just had a shower, but like the weirdest shower ever. But I feel really good. And I'm like, tell me more. He's like, so I'm at this place and these two guys come up. They're like in their 40s, 50s, whatever. And they're like, hey, we have a proposition for you. We have a really nice RV.
Yeah.
And we'd love to offer you a shower as long as we can like suds you up. And he's like,
sud you up? Is that the
word? Suds you up. And he's like, okay. So he's like, fuck it. It's Burning Man. I'm going to go out of my comfort zone. He's straight, but whatever. And he goes and he says, I'm just standing in this nice massive shower, waterfall shower, and two 40-year-old guys are just rubbing me down.
Scene out of Liberace.
And he's just like this, and they're just sudsing him up. They cleaned him up, washed him up, dried him up, gave him a hug and said thank you, and he left. Like no gay stuff, nothing, just a free shower. Just
bros
making two guys happy. And I was like, good for you, man. Like, now you're clean and happy. It's like, these are the kind of things that happen, dude. It's just...
You know where this also happened when I saw it? You know what's...
His
you know,
face, I
he's
love
He's not
it.
Ready. He wasn't ready
I
for
mean,
this.
Listen, I'm diving in real open. Deep, dude.
Stay open, I'm, you champ.
Listen.
My mouth is open, man.
My mouth... I'm diving in deep, but like Burning Man to everyone is different. So you right. experience everything.
No, your own unique.
No, I get 100%.
I'm just telling you the extremes.
It's like when I tell you about a solo trip. Like
or
if
Spain,
I go to,
you
let's
tell
say,
me about Spain, yeah, I'm like, I'm fucking over it.
If I go to whatever, Barcelona, or if I go to whatever, and you go to Barcelona, we can have two completely different experiences. It, like,
I agree.
On every end of the spectrum.
But what I love about this, if you can, like what I took from my first burn, the main
burn.
Thing.
My fuck. I hate you're one of those guys now, eh?
I'm not.
My first
burn. It's just
I'm just fucking with you. Go. I'm fucking with you. Go.
The one thing I pulled from it, the main is like not like to be less judgmental. Like I come from a foreign family who's like at the end of the day a little judgmental and stuff. And you know what? Like that story right there. Like, is that so bad?
Listen, no. Listen, like, I come off mad homophobic when I do that. But let me tell you something. I don't give a fuck. It's not. I know.
No, I'm just saying in general. Like, I think that the main thing I pull from this is that we need to be just more understanding. And
100%. Yeah.
And everyone who is against it or whatever is lying to themselves.
That I can
humans
agree.
Are very similar, and
that
everyone wants to have fun, and everyone's down with a lot of things.
Right.
They're just afraid of what people are going to think.
Yeah.
So when you have a space like Burning Man, where nobody's going to judge, you can do whatever you want. It's liberating.
Yeah.
Well, and you pull from that, and I take that home now.
Yeah.
And I don't judge people when I see what they look like. I don't know what they've been through. I don't know what they do.
Sure.
Right? Okay, but see, that's my thing. So Schultz talks about Burning Man like crazy. Like he says all this stuff, same thing. So this is my only experience about Burning Man is listening to what he has to say.
Yeah.
So. Now you're saying, you know, everyone's like basically equal. Doesn't matter if you come from money, if you don't come from money, everyone's on the same playing field. There's still got to be some sort of person. Like, let's say you're an asshole in real life, per se, right? You go to Burning Man. There's no way you just switch it off. Like, there's got to be some people who go there and
I'm
are
sure.
still
That's
douchebags.
Everyday life, though, yeah.
Sure. I'm sure. And like, I'm glad you said that. So, like, that class, like, so, like, one of the principles or radical inclusion. You can't like be like, oh, I don't know you, like you can't come. Like everything's like open to everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can see there are camps that are, you can tell they have money. Like when you go into like, so there's this like one section of Burning Man, like I hate to even talk about it because it's like the kind of like, I guess, bad part of Birmingham, but it's so minuscule that it doesn't matter.
Right.
But there's people who get paid to, they just fly in there. There's an airport right next to it. They get flown in from LA. Christ. They go to like one or two parties, they take some photos, like, and they go home. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're called sparkle ponies. They're not dusty. They're clean. They fly in, they do their thing, and they leave, right?
Yeah.
So, and but you can tell right away. Like the one party we were at, I just look around and I'm like, the vibe just changed in five seconds. All these beautiful people came, but they're all clean and I haven't seen them before. Sparkle ponies.
It's the inability for someone to adapt to the environment and still, like, it's the inability to basically accept where you're at and behave like where you're, like, what you're supposed to be. It's like going to Japan and having, you know, some douchebag tendencies that you're allowed to get away with in North America and expecting everyone else to be like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, throw your fucking garbage on the floor.
Over, like you said, if you're an asshole in real life and you go there, you're either going to get hit with reality because, like, not everyone's just nice to you because they were going to be nice. If you're not nice to them, they'll tell you to fuck off.
Right.
It just doesn't happen a lot because people are usually nice and they want to be nice there. So even if they're assholes in real life,
they know where they're going.
They know where they're going and they're going to be nice. And hopefully that'll, like, clue into them. Wow, maybe I should be more like this in real life.
Right.
But I've heard stories. I've experienced one, actually. This was 4 years ago where some guy, like, we were sitting in a circle, a guy from Spain, a guy from Turkey, me, a girl from Sweden, and this guy from Moab, Utah. Mm. And Moab, Utah, if you guys know Utah, a lot of, like, Mormons, it's pretty, like, strict with their views. And in Moab, you know, racism's pretty big. Like, they're not the biggest fan of Latino people, right?
By the way, what the fuck?
What?
Out of all the people to not be a fan of?
Oh, they're the best. I know, right?
Like, right? Hate Serbs. I understand if you hate Serbs. But don't hate Latinos.
So we met this guy, and he, like, we sat down in a fire, and he gives me this bracelet. I actually wore all this burn. It's like a really cool metal bracelet. It has the burning logo, whatever. And he gave it to me, and my girl and my buddy Alejandro was...
Alejandro.
His neighbor's his girl now.
This was actually my ex-girlfriend.
Like, oh, this is 4 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah,
Elise. Oh, I missed that part. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Carry on.
Alejandro's from Spain. He's white, by the way. And he gives me... And Alejandro goes to this man from Moab. He goes, they just sat down 5 minutes ago and you gave him a bracelet. I've been talking to you for 2 hours. Why didn't you give me a bracelet?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
Right.
And this guy's thinking and he goes, wow, you're right. Like, what the fuck? And he's like, you know what? Like, I come from Moab and I just have this, like, you know, your name's Alejandro or whatever. And
right.
And then it got this weird vibe where it's like he's basically realizing that he's, like, subconsciously racist. And Alejandro's,
or
like,
at least some extent. No, some extent. Yeah,
like,
right.
He's not a bad person. I'm just he's.
But he had a real.
I can see it in his mind. He's realizing what he just did. He didn't do this on purpose.
Right.
And Alejandro's like, "What the fuck, dude? Like, I'm from Spain. I'm white.
Yeah.
My name's Alejandro, but I'm white."
Yeah.
And it was this huge ordeal. And then, like, we're trying to, like, calm Alejandro down, whatever. And there was no, like, aggression. It was this guy had a realization what he did. And he felt really bad. And at the end, we all hugged it out. It was cool. But I saw a man realize how, like, systemically deep down he actually was racist without even knowing it because he was from Moab, Utah, and they don't like Mexicans.
Right.
And it was nice to see him, like, overcome that and be like,
What am I doing?
Like,
right.
Okay, see, this is where...
So there's some profound shit happening there. Yeah. And the next morning, by the way, when we woke up, he packed up his camp and he left.
Oh.
It was like, it hit him down.
It was
hard.
That profound.
It was the last... Second last day.
Yeah.
So maybe he was leaving, like, even before, but he didn't tell us he was leaving, and literally he was gone, and it was like, yep, what it is what it is.
Okay,
you know,
so pack it up, down 30 at half. It's, you know, we got to go home. We'll come back. The playoffs are not done. There's a game 7 next year. We'll come back.
Going home is hard. Playoffs are hard, dude. I'm not a crier. Like, I'm, like, pretty, but this year on the way home, I fucking bawled for, like, hours and hours, dude.
Jesus Christ. Okay, cool. Question on that thing. So, he realized he was a whatever, all this stuff. He realized it all. It's like, see, right now, he's like, it was like a profound thing. He found himself. If this happened outside of Burning Man, he would have gotten mad shit for it. And if he would have been like, oh, wait, I'm a racist. I'm like, yeah, you are, you motherfucker. It would have torn him apart.
Right.
For being a racist.
That's the weird.
So now, what's the difference now? Because he's at under the Burning Man banner.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It's the playing field, dude. It's like if you're aggressive on the streets or aggressive on the football field. There's a time and place for shit, right?
Well, let's say, like, hypothetically, I said something really fucking stupid in front of my boys. The boys would be like, dude, that was, like, really dumb.
Yeah.
If I said it in front of a million people, I'd get fucking buried by a million people.
Right.
But like, that's the problem with people trying to take conversations that are kind of, you know, private or within a few people and saying like, oh, well, you shouldn't have said, it's like, bro, no one is thinking that far ahead to like make sure. And you shouldn't be thinking, you should be allowed to say whatever you want to say. And if it's wrong, whatever, own up to it and move on. Yeah. Like,
man,
it's life.
At the end of the day, one thing I've realized, my cousin always tells me this, and it's like, people are honestly the fucking same. I'm sorry, but I don't care where you come from, whatever. Like, that's why I love that one musical. And it says like, everyone's a little bit racist sometimes.
What?
I don't know that musical. I don't know. No? That sounds like a good one, though.
Sounds like, yeah, you just made that up. No, one of the main songs is everyone's a little bit racist sometimes. And it's true, because I don't care where you're from, yeah, and whatever. Like, we just put these labels like racist, all this. Dude,
it's so hard not to have any, we're any all, even the slightest amount of like thought beforehand about what
we're primal. Think. We're tribal. If you have a crew and you're all the same looking, you're, yes, going to be with that crew no matter what.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an asshole about it.
Right.
But don't deny it. You know what I mean? Serbians stick together. Sure. Bring in, yeah, Canadians, right?
Germans.
Everyone's got their clans. And as long as you understand that and you're a good person, who cares?
By the
way, I find like we're just too crazy about all that these days.
100%. By the way, I was going to tell you, do you know what Germany's Burning Man is?
No.
Thailand. Let me hear me out. I don't know if I've told you.
I thought you were going to say Auschwitz.
That's why I love Sick Baby.
Oh my God. Wow. Leave the room.
Yes.
Leave the, yes, fucking, dude, room. Wow.
Yes, dude.
I didn't know I fucking threw a sitter. This guy just.
Dude.
That was too easy.
I don't know where to go from here.
That was too easy.
I don't know where to go from, dude, here.
So hopefully it's a safer place.
You guys know Anthony Jeselnik?
Yeah,
of course,
We were listening to him on the way, and he had a similar one. I love him because he's so dry. And he goes like, yeah, I've been making money or whatever. You know how they say the first million's the easiest? He's like, so you're just like, yeah. And he goes, now think about if Hitler said that. And like the car just went quiet. And I just howl out there. And then he goes, you weren't expecting that, were you? And I'm like, no, I wasn't. And I'm sorry. And that's awful. But, oh man, that's funny.
Wait, Anthony Jeselnik said that to you?
No, he said that in the car. I was listening to it.
Oh, because your friend's like, you weren't expecting that.
Well, no. Honestly, shit. I'm coming from Burning Man.
It could it be. Very it's well, not could a crazy like, timeline to assume that could have happened.
I know. I get it.
Back to the Germany and Thailand thing. Let me explain why, because okay. I didn't explain why. So I went to Thailand like 4 or 5 years ago, and we just stayed in like some random hostel. By the way, Thailand has one of the like some of the best hostels, and like $10 a month. Like you get your own fucking. A day. $10
yeah,
a day.
Like,
$10
what?
A day. Yeah, in this economy. Am I right, guys? Anyways.
So you can sponsor a hostel for 3 cents a day.
I would love to sponsor a Thailand hostel. So we were at this random hostel in a place called Krabi. So whatever. We're in a dorm, and I'm like, I have to go freaking take a piss. This is the second day there, and I still haven't noticed the amount of ladyboys there are. Like, I'm still kind of like...
Some of them there are like so many, hot.
And it's yeah. so hard to notice.
I'm watching this YouTube video, and I'm like, it's not, so hot, it's not and easy. He's just like, I'm a boy, and I'm like, no, you're
Once
not.
Once they talk,
I'm a boy.
It's over.
How?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Feminine boy.
These two Germans are, like, I go to take a, whatever, there's like an open bathroom, but, like, I go to shower. Sorry, I go to piss, and these two Germans are showering, and they're talking in English for some reason, but with thick German accents. And I'm just, like, overhearing this kind of, like, you know, whatever. I wasn't trying to listen.
Yeah, und
yeah they're like, ah, it was a great time last night, yeah? Great time. I'm just like, oh, okay, what is going on here? He's like, no. Yeah, those lady boys, yeah? And the other guy's like, yeah. And he's yeah. like, what happens in Thailand? Stays in Thailand. And I fucking lost it. I'm like, I can't. I'm like, I'm out. But, like, if you think about it, it makes so much Germany such a, like, a cold, oppressed, socially oppressed place. Thailand is their escape into like a little bit of social normality.
Germany is like that, but then again, they have some crazy like bathhouses.
That's
sex
like that's
houses,
pockets. Sorry. But that's why? Pockets. But as why a people though?
But why Thailand?
Yes,
though?
Yeah.
Why Thailand?
It's there. It's like their Cuba. Like it's really cheap. Okay. It's warm.
It's so far out though.
No, for them it's like 7 hours, 8 hours maybe. It's not that crazy. Hmm. That's the closest thing they have to like. They literally go from like the most fucking strict place. Yeah, yeah. To pirates. Like, I would describe that's Thailand in comparison.
That's a
pirate
dude,
island.
That's a great.
Thailand is pirate island.
That's a great label. Pirates.
There's like, there are that. Rules, but that. Not that many.
Yeah. yeah
like,
yeah.
there you could do whatever the fuck. And compared to Germany, it might as well be like uncharted waters.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Burning Man. What a fucking time.
Dude, I was just telling Alex, I'm like, yo, you guys already sold me on it. If this guy can sell me on Burning Man, I might go.
Yeah.
But here's my...
You need to work your way up to Burning Man. I'll be honest. No. He needs to work his way up to Burning Man. I feel like you need a few solo trips. You need to like gradually... I think Burning Man is like almost like a life-altering experience if that's the only thing you've done to.
It's so cliche, but it is. It changes your view on everything. And honestly, everyone who goes just basically tells themselves, why the fuck didn't I go earlier? Like
it's like going no drugs to mushrooms. It's like you need maybe like weed.
Mushrooms is a fucking next level up.
No. It's like going no drugs to fucking 5-MeO-DMT.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
The pinnacle of humanity.
I was going to say, there you go.
The pinnacle. Okay, LSD, I have a few more questions.
Yeah,
go. So people, they change, right? You're saying like you have this realization, you go to Burning Man, you come out a better person.
Yeah.
How long does that last? Because there's no way everybody fucking who goes to Burning Man changes. Like,
I mean,
unless it's almost like a high, like you come off of that high and now you're back.
Yeah, you have this like post depression and everything. And I mean, listen, like I said, everyone experiences differently.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is the first year I heard you can have a bad burn. You never know. I haven't experienced, I can't imagine it, but sure, you can have a bad burn. Things can go sideways. I don't know. And I'm sure that it doesn't last forever. And that's why people are excited to go again in the year. Mm. But it doesn't matter because as long as you see it and experience it and it makes you a better person for at least that week, I think it lingers.
Gotcha.
And like for me, especially like the past couple, the year, like I moved to Europe, I changed like my whole life. Like everything's like kind of, to be honest, for me all over the place, as much as it seems like I know what I'm doing.
I've never thought that about you. I don't know what you're saying right now.
I love it. Everyone says
at no
this.
Point that I was like, thinking Milos really is very focused into this one thing that he's doing. I always thought Milos is literally a fucking fireworks show, and you don't know which one of these things you lit off, but you know at some point something is going to...
You know me better than most. But like everything's everywhere, and it was just like it's hard, and then this week it all just blended into one, was like, okay. I get it. And I came out so inspired and like full of love and oh man.
Okay, it's just two more questions now. You said the man is in the middle and then there's a temple at the end. Yeah. What is the man?
Okay. So great question. We need to do these ones. This is for the fucking clickbait. Please. We need to do these.
He's already thinking
like my house
was joke. This is the technical stuff we need.
Go.
So basically why it's called Burning Man, there's a structure called the man and it's always like some sort of man. And it's like, and they do like worldwide competitions for the architect or artist who's going to design it.
Okay.
So it's a lot of art. Like art's a big part of this. So they have this man and it's just like some kind of temple or not temple, but like some kind of like structure with a man. And it's just there and whatever. It'll have art. And then the temple is like a little further and the temple is also a massive structure. And the temple is like the complete opposite of what you would experience outside of Burning Man. So in Burning Man, it's always music. It's always... Like, all you hear is generators, music, people. Mm. It's constant 24/7 noise.
It's like Mad Max episode.
Exactly. And then you go in the temple, and it's where people bring photos of dead people.
Oh.
It's like, it's a temple. And you go in, and as soon as you go in, like, I'm getting goosebumps right now. As soon as you go, like, I can't describe this, like.
But it's not like any, like, one religion. It's just.
No, and it's like, and I'm completely sober at this time, and I just can't explain. As soon as you walk into this temple, like, we have this, like, electromagnetic pulse. Like we have this, like people are always, there's constantly shit going around and our subconscious is reading it. And it's no, like if you walk into a room with people arguing, you walk in, you know, something's off.
Right.
We have waves. We have
it
shit.
It doesn't have to be on that individual level. It can be like you go into a city and you feel the energy
exactly.
of the city.
So, like, so you go different. Into the temple, dude, and you're like, wow, everyone there is like grieving for someone, bringing flowers, pictures, writing in notebooks. So you go in, and you're just looking around and you're like, oh my God, like this is.
And this wild. Is a whole structure they built.
This is a whole massive, massive structure. Yeah. And you go around and you pay respects and whatever and you do whatever you want with the temple, but that's the temple. So basically, the Burning Man isn't like that. Burning Man's just the structure of the man.
Right.
And the second last night, so on the Saturday night, they burn the Burning Man.
Okay.
And it's like fireworks, massive explosion, massive burn. Everyone's on the playa because the village is usually like just as hype as the playa. Playa is kind of like whatever. There's art pieces and art cars. But at Burning Man, everyone's at the playa. Everyone's around the Burning Man. Mm. And it's this massive fire and it's a massive party. And a lot of people leave after that.
Mm.
And that's like why it's called Burning Man. And you burn it and you're like, oh, fun, cool. Then the next day, that night, it's they burn the temple.
Oh shit.
It's the temple burn. So you bring all your stuff. So one year there was a fucking Boeing 747 there with the roof cut off, and it was a fucking club, and you go in there.
That
and
was they, the temple? They
served, no, it was just a piece. And they'd serve kombucha, and you'd be there partying on the wing, just like boom, boom. And they had,
it said. That's fucking wild, by the
and
way.
They said, yeah, and they said, crazy. Leave your baggage. And you would write your baggage, whatever you have in your life, you'd write it down, which is a great freaking therapy thing is to write. But you'd write it down, and they were going to take all that baggage and bring it to the temple.
Yeah.
So the temple burns the last night. And when it's burning, everyone's quiet. So this year is my first temple burn, and there's no music. Like, you're there all week and it's constant noise. Now there's no sound. It's just, you hear the fire and people are crying. People are just sitting there, and I'm just like, holy shit. Like, this is big, you know, like it's fun. Like, it's hard to explain until you're there. But so I met this guy 4 years ago, and I ran into him accidentally at this burn, and we ended up spending 3 days together, and his ex-girlfriend was there, and I hadn't seen her all week. And at the temple burn, we sit down, and I hear something, I look over, and she's right there. And I was like, that's the play of magic. Like, what are the odds? Whoa. And, like, you know, we hug, and we're like, wow, I'm so happy I saw you, even just, like, this little bit, because, like, I haven't seen you in 4 years.
You might not see them for a while, or ever again.
That's all I needed. Right. I came to the temple burn, I sat down, and, like, my buddy goes, I knew she was here. I just felt it. Like, as soon as we sat down, she was right there. Shit like that happens all the time. So anyways, the temple burns. Everyone's quiet. Pretty wild. You go home a couple hours. And then it's one last banger. And then everyone goes home.
Yeah.
So that's why it's Burning Man. That's why you have the man that burns. And you have this temple that burns.
Yeah.
But they're massive fires, dude. Like, I'm talking, you've never seen a fire this big. It's about 100 or 200 meters away.
How big is this Burning Man? The man itself, like, probably.
It's a building. You can go inside. They have, like, art pieces inside and
shit. Oh, fuck. I'm picturing the man being, like, a fucking actual, like, structure.
Like a figure.
Like a wooden figure or something.
So, basically, okay, think of the man as big as a school bus.
Yeah.
On top of, like, a little building.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Fuck. So the whole thing burns.
Whole thing.
It's not just the man.
It's the biggest fire I've ever seen in my life.
Jesus Christ.
Like, I'm 300 meters away and I'm feeling heat on my face. It's massive, whoa, dude. Like, just search some videos.
You think the KKK is jealous of that?
This guy. I love
it. Are we done? We got an hour? I don't know if we can top that. I don't know if we can top that. Like, I don't know, where do we go from there? We just 47. Okay.
We have more. We have.
Perfect. I don't know where to fucking go from there, bro.
I don't know, dude. But it's amazing. It's something everyone should experience. It's hard to get tickets and it's hard to get there.
How'd you get them, by the way?
So perfect. Yeah. There's this program. I'm so happy Burning Man did this. It's like a ticket aid program. So if you don't make enough money in life, you have to prove with, like, T-Force lips and bullshit that you don't make a lot of money. And
what? That's serious.
And you
have T-Force lips.
Yeah.
And rent and stuff.
Let me see your fucking tax history.
Yeah, no,
let me talk to Joanne you wrote down. Is that your tax lady?
Can I have your SIN number?
I'm like, yeah, Joanne is my tax lady.
And basically, it's
who is this? Yeah, you can go to Burning Man. He's broke.
He's a good guy.
He's a good kid, but he's broke. He can't hold a job to fucking hold his life.
No, basically. Yeah, basically. No, so instead of just, like, waiting to buy it out and it sells out in, like, 10 seconds,
really?
You apply. So they'll ask you, what are you going to bring? What are you going to, you know, do? That's where I said, like, I'm going to do portraits. I'm going to do this. So it's this huge application process. And then if you get that, I think they did 1,000 4 years ago when I went, and this year they gave 3,000. Wow. It's called the Ticket Aid Program.
So they basically give you the ticket if you...
It's a lottery.
You qualify. No, for $225.
Oh, okay. So
which is the cheapest.
What's the regular? What's the regular?
I couldn't tell you regular. I think the first one that goes on sale is like 600, and then it'll go up to like $2,000.
Okay, but what do you get out of it?
But I'm telling you, like, when you go to buy them, it's like you log in and it's like, okay, 10 seconds later, sold out.
Like, you either try to buy Champions League tickets.
You need a program to, like, go like 100 at once, or like,
is there resale and shit? No.
Yeah, there is resale. There is resale. There's like all that, and you can. I'm sure you can always find a ticket.
Right. If you got money.
If you got money, if you can, like, get there, go to LA, go to Vegas. People will, like. It's just, it's hard. It is really hard. But this Ticket Aid program saved me, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to go. And I did it twice, and I. both got accepted, so I only paid $225.
Nice. Now, what do you get out of paying, for example, $225 versus the $2,000 for the ticket? Like, what are the?
It's the same ticket, dude.
Why are the prices?
It's because the time they're trying to like get more people to come, not just like the first, you know, 1%.
Yeah, if you got a lot of money, you don't really fucking care if you're paying the $2,000 or $600.
Exactly. Like, so they're going to sell out either way. Like, my sister didn't care about the price. She just wanted a ticket, so she was on a wait list for like a certain period of tickets that started at like 1500.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, so it's just, yeah, you want a ticket. But if you're part of a camp, so like we met a really sick camp this year, and they were like mainly Latinos and like
really
great
champ.
Guys. Like I spoke so much Spanish there. My Spanish went back to like 80% because like, I was just like these people, some of them didn't know English.
Yeah.
I'm just like talking to them and it's unreal. And like their camp, so they charge $150. Mm. You have to bring all your stuff, tent, food, and whatever. Mm-hmm. But they have like this community, you have your camp, and they only charge $150 and they had 35 tickets. Right. So, like, if you're part of a camp, you can, and camps go first.
Yeah.
So, if you're part of a camp, you can get in early and not worry about buying like a regular ticket.
I'm back in.
You want to go next year?
I've never been that excited. I'm in.
Want to go next year?
I've been sold.
Everyone needs to go.
I've been sold.
We should make a group together and go.
I'm in.
I'd be down.
I'll do it.
Hit up Schultz.
I'm down to bring anyone and help anyone, but I'll tell them right now I'm not babysitting them. When we're there.
What are we going to babysit?
No, I'm just saying. No, some people expect you to like, if I'm there, like, of course, we'll hang out.
So
and we'll go out, but like, then again, I'll be gone like
bro,
that.
He goes, we'll go out. You're in the fucking desert. Where are you going to go? Listen, I'll see you wherever anywhere. The fuck you are. Listen, where are you going to go?
Standard rules as when you go with the boys. If one of your boys is doing well, whether it's with a female, whether it's whatever the fuck it is, you say, listen, I get it. You're doing your own thing. Good luck. Exactly. And if your boy is fucking your boy, he'll be like, all right, I'll figure it out.
That's why you only take people that like you know are cool because some people aren't like that, you know?
I got
you. But I'd be down to go with a group. That'd be sick.
Yeah, it's, man, it's, everyone should go and just be ready to, like.
No, you're able to go into, like, for example, somebody else's camp and just, like, hang out with them, right? Shit like that?
Yeah, dude, like, that's the whole point. It's super inclusive. Like, you can go anywhere. You meet, like, we weren't part of this camp and we were there almost every day, like, just walking in, part of it. Like, it's super open. If there's a dust storm, dude, like, people think everyone's dressing like this to look cool. No, like, you need goggles. You need a mask. Like, there's storms where I put out my hand, I can't see my hand.
Wow.
It's just sand.
That shit hurts, eh?
Yeah.
It's gotta hurt. Yep.
You're like this, dude. You're looking for cover. So you go into a random camp and you meet people there. Or you've got goggles and you, like, try to find home, but you can't see shit, so you don't know where you are. It's really hardcore weather-wise.
Right.
That's why people are dressed like that.
Yeah.
Plus, it gets really cold at night, so you've got that fur coats and stuff.
I like it. I like it from a perspective, like, the goal of what I'm trying to do with the pod is essentially listen to as many interesting people as possible and try to learn from their stories and also try not to be in any way judgmental. Like, I had a guy last week that did 13 years in prison, and he was the nicest.
I love to talk to him.
Bro, he did, six 6 years in solitary confinement. And when I talked to him.
6 years?
In a 6x10 cell. And the stories he told me and the life perspective he had was like, this is fucking insane.
I love your pod because you're not like, although they say find a niche, fuck it. Like,
I'll run this into the ground.
You just want to talk to whoever. Exactly. And I love that.
But I want that also in a life experience sense. So that's why I'm actually so when I hear like this kind of stuff, I see so many similarities between solo traveling to a country that I don't know where I don't speak the language.
Yeah.
Because essentially a similar thing happens, obviously on a smaller scale, where I meet people I don't know.
Yeah.
I start trying to talk in their language. I start figuring out what's the thing to do here. I start figuring out where's a cool spot. Yeah. And it always goes into some sort of adventure that I would never have scripted in my life. If I sat down with a pen and pencil, whatever, and I fucking, pen and paper, and I try to figure out, okay, what would be a funny story for this trip that I'm having today? I would not be able to come up with what actually transpired on this trip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
Life itself is the most interesting story. It's like, that's what the basis of every story is.
Yeah, like, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, how many situations have you been in where you're like, you can't write this?
You can't write this. You can't write this.
No one would, if you wrote it, they wouldn't believe it. That's what life's about. I'm the same way. I'm like, I love experiences. I'm like, I love to
go. They're good and bad, though. It goes both ways. And they're always wild.
And I learn from them.
Of course.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I had one night this year at Burning Man where I wouldn't say it was No, it was great. I loved it. But a normal person would say that's a bad night. You know, like I died.
Are you curious now?
I died. I died and came back to life in the playa. Let's just say I'm all like star in the middle of deep playa. Like I'm talking like 2 kilometers away from the village.
I don't know if I can ask this on the pod.
I'm gonna say how much I say because whatever, but yeah. I'm just laying down.
Who cares? I care. No one's gonna listen to this. This is not a podcast anyone listens to. You're fine.
I'm just laying down there, like just revisiting my life. Everything's coming to me. So I get up and I look and everything's so blurry. I'm like, no, I can't get up. And I just like basically died and came back to life. And I learned so much about myself. And luckily, I was strong enough to know that in this negative situation, I know tomorrow I'm going to look back and laugh.
Yeah.
So I was okay.
Actually, that's one of the best things when you can look back on something and just laugh about it.
And that just comes with experience. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I've been through the gutter so many times that I'm like experienced enough now.
It's going to be all right. Yeah.
But trust me.
I'll be all right. It's fine.
I've had a shitty life so much that I can experience. Like, I relate to it.
It's a blessing to have those things though.
But like,
Let me ask you this. Were there times where you got emotional and you've cried about certain things?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I do that shit now. I've been to Burning Man.
The older I get, the more I'm emotional. Like, there's movies that make me cry, for sure. Yeah. Like, I'm not a crier. I would say, like someone dies or whatever. I'm not necessarily going to cry. It's hard for me to cry at funerals,
same. Too.
Yeah. It's hard for me to cry, but I think I'm maybe just prepped for it or whatever. But then again, I'll cry like this if the moment asks for it. This year, like, I actually couldn't believe it. But, like, Burning Man was better than I could ever imagine. Like, I thought I had the best. I just can't describe how good it was. And then going home on the road and also leaving, like, I fell in love. And, like, just leaving.
This is literally, like, one of those solo trips. It literally sounds like I was crying, dude.
I just started crying. And, like, my sister, who cries, like, 10 times more than me, is like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I can't describe it, but I'm literally bawling for, like, 2 hours. Yeah, like,
right.
And then I'm like, it'll pass. It's fine. Pass. And it's not like I'm sad. It's like, I'm happy I experienced it, but I'm sad it's over.
Yeah.
Cause I like,
yeah, I get it now.
There's just a lot of emotions in the temple burn. So here I'll say this. You guys will understand. So like the girl I fell in love with always wore a cowboy hat. Mm. That was her thing. And she left the day early after the burn. So at the temple burn, I was there with just my friends and that's it. And I just see a girl with a cowboy hat
walk by.
And just like, I would never I wouldn't do that with my girlfriend of like 5 years.
Right. But, it takes some spooking to get you off guard.
But in this situation,
were you under the influence or were you sober?
No.
Wow.
I don't know. At that point,
it makes sense.
And just boom, and I was like, oh.
No,
like,
it feels good to cry though. I'll be
honest
with you.
Like, it does. It's a release. It's a release. I'm not ashamed of it.
No, even now, bro. Like, I'm not a crier. But like, saying, the only time I'll actually like tear up and cry.
This podcast turned so fucking. It went quickly to this whole.
Is there what? Is there what? If
you're gonna cry,
fuck you.
If you're gonna cry, it's gonna be at fucking Burning Man after.
No, it's not that. I cry like life successes, bro. Like, if I achieve a goal, like when I got the text from Andrew, I cried. When I fucking signed onto the studio, I cried. Yeah, like, shit like that. Like,
when
I'm progressing in something, I cry. Yeah. I get emotional. Fuck
yeah. It's like, for me, it's not so much sad things. Like, super obvious. This person dog died. Okay.
Right.
Like, but if it's something like where it's like personal to me in the sense of
achieving
like
a life goal.
Example for me, sports. Like when I see someone like win an Olympic medal and they're crying, I'm bawling. Because I know what it takes.
Right.
I know what they've sacrificed. Boom, I'm done. Like there's this short documentary of Shaun White when he won his like Olympic gold.
That's the shit that always gets me too. Like those people that just like throw it all in the line and then somehow it works out.
I'm bawling. Like sports for me, easiest ball. Like,
Just, well, because you have first-hand experience.
Exactly. Yeah, it's relatable. And it's relatable, exactly.
I think as we get older and like, I think me and you are in a similar place because you're also, you left and you're moving and I'm also planning on moving. Hopefully everything works out. But I'm also seeing these experiences that I'm having daily here and I've had daily for years. And I'm thinking always in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, this is temporary. All of it. Oh, it's temporary. Today is a fucking day that will never happen. Dude. As boring as the day might be, if I hang out with one of the boys, this is a potential day that might not come around again for 5, 10, 100 years. Ever. So I'm
live it.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's like, I'm good. in the back. It's in the back of my mind now, more and more.
I'm a big watcher of like round tables with like actors and directors and stuff. And there's a really good one in De Niro, and like he was like the oldest there, and you know he was spewing his fucking magic.
Hey, fucker, what's the?
These fucking
That's good. That's really good.
and he literally said, and he was like, when you're at your low, it'll pass. Mm. When you're at your high, it'll pass.
Right.
Don't fucking stick to it. Whatever happens, it will pass.
Right.
Yeah.
Life's a fucking wave and it's going to keep going. And when I listening to that, it was the first time I heard someone say like the positive side of it. So like when it's all good, it's going to pass.
Yeah.
Chill the fuck out.
What, do you know that movie? It was like a fucking, like a blockbuster crazy mindfuck movie. Is like Everything Everywhere All at Once. Everything All at Once.
Yeah.
So I took some edibles watching that.
Yeah.
And I also, I watched half of it with, on edibles and half of it without.
Okay. How'd you like it?
I really liked the edibles part. When I was on edibles, the without edibles was not, this movie was not designed to be watched like that. Honestly, I do genuinely believe that. Because there's no way you can tell me that movie is made without any influence.
I had a buddy text me and say, hey, I think you'll like this. Don't look it up. Just go watch it.
Right.
So I'm in Serbia. I'm like, fuck it. I have a neighbor there as well, actually.
You have a lot of neighbors.
This is an actual neighbor, though.
She lives in my building, and I said, let's go watch it together. And she's like, I'm down. And we go.
For people, like, it's a mindfuck movie. It's all over the place.
I've only heard good things about it.
It's like an acid trip.
Well, you're about to
hear
about
it. Carry on.
Let's go.
And I go there, and I'm like, okay, he told me I'm going to like it. And I'm watching, and I'm watching. And
sober?
Yep. No, I smoked weed.
Okay. Carry on.
But I think that, like, being, like, finishing my master's in film or whatever, I look at movies a little bit different. So in this movie, I can respect its editing. Phenomenal.
Right, timing. Phenomenal editing. All the shit.
Very well done.
Right.
But as a story and as the whole thing.
There's no story.
It was.
It's awful. There's no story.
Awful.
No, there's no story. Really? It's not about the story.
20 minutes in, I was like, I'm sorry to this friend who told me I'll like it. Complete, like, miss. Basically what I see from it is, they took like the Marvel, skeleton,
right?
The superhero skeleton and said, how can we make this even broader? Easy. Let's gear it towards Asians. Mm-hmm. Seriously though.
Okay.
It's like, we're taking the Marvel thing, but we're going to make it an Asian family and we're going to add a little Mandarin. So we're going to get this entire other audience from Asia. It's like, and it's genius and it worked, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was just too out there. And I enjoyed it only because I was like, fuck it, turn your brain off and whatever. But to me, it was way overhyped and it's not.
It's so funny that we watched the same movie and had completely. I know. I wouldn't say I had a bad experience or a good experience.
That's why I love film, because this is my opinion. Right, I can't judge. Yeah. I'm saying my opinion. And who am I to say? No one cares about my experience.
I'm not saying like, oh, it was good. I want to watch it again, or it was bad. I don't want to ever watch it again. I just had a weird experience with it because like I took some edibles and I was like, watching it, and there was a moment in the show. I don't know why. What triggered? Maybe it's some sort of other thing that has nothing to do with the movie at all. But in my mind, I had this like blip where I saw like the full lineage of life in almost like a millisecond. You know, like, oh, whatever you say, like you see these flashes before you die or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw like this moment of what life is. It's like I was born. Like, I'm getting old. I reproduce. And it was like a millisecond. And I don't know if it was the movie or what caused it, but it just happened. I was like, oh, this is interesting.
It's too much, and it's too, I call this American, but it's that machine. They found like the rhythm. They found the sketchwork of what will sell.
Right.
And they
use like a factory farm meat.
Exactly. It's the same as like biopics, like from Walk the Line to Bohemian Rhapsody. You like the music, so you're like, oh, that's good. But if you think about it, the movies as themselves, it's awful.
I heard those movies.
It won an award for editing.
You know? Yeah. So this isn't cinema. So this is another Marvel entertainment and whatever if you like that. But the whole time, like, this is so predictable. It's so outrageous that it's not my thing. Whereas from another perspective, I'm on the airplane and I watch the movie Kimmy with Zoe Kravitz.
Sounds familiar, but I don't know if I don't think I've seen it. Yeah. Good?
So underrated.
Really? Yeah.
Phenomenal.
You can tell by his reaction.
Yeah, like, holy shit,
my palms are sweating the whole time.
Knees weak.
She's beautiful. Like, I think she's a goddess. I love it. So like maybe I'm biased, but like, no, she's such a good, it's so Watch Kimmy, dude. Like, you finish film, watch
what
Kimmy.
What a weird way to end this one.
Watch Kimmy,
what
dude.
What a weird way to end really this one. We went from Burning Man to Kimmy. It's been a beautiful fucking experience. Dude, this is life, the Bored with Nelly experience.
Bored with Nelly. That's why I call it an experience.
We should
you have your own Burning Man.
This is like the Joe Rogan
experience. No, Bored with Nelly is such a good title because it's like people are bored.
With me. If you're watching an hour-long fucking podcast with one camera angle, you're bored.
My original like logo design was me on a couch board.
It's actually funny. Yeah. Last podcast we talked about some like pretty fucking outrageous stuff.
Yeah,
like
we porn did.
Stars and stuff.
Did we?
Like, we did.
And I'm not about to like spew that so like my family like watch this, whatever. But I had like one girl like from Windsor that I know who was like, I watched it and she's like, it was so funny. And like, just getting one person to be like, I actually listened to the whole thing.
Bro, isn't that a good feeling?
I was enormous.
Like, bro, yeah. Isn't that a good feeling when people tell you that your shit is funny?
Yeah.
Bro, I say the dumbest shit, obviously, like that. But my other pod I do with Carly and Josh, like, just, I'm on there as like the comedic relief. And that's kind of, I take my role a little too seriously. So I just say,
those are my favorite clips on Instagram.
Yeah.
You and them.
I say the dumbest shit.
They are funny.
I say the dumbest fucking shit, bro. People love that shit.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to hear people being like, oh, it's sick, it's funny. Yeah. Like, it's great.
Like, this chick actually watched the whole thing and she was like,
that's actually ludicrous. Yeah. That someone would dedicate respect. Shout out to random chick Milo. She said no. Hope that works
another
out.
Neighbor, hopefully.
Hope that works out. Fuck. I think we're coming to an end. We did an hour. Yeah, we could do another 10 hours. I honestly want to give this, like, series, when we come together, it's like a special name. I don't know what it is.
We made it.
But I want like a name. Like, I know Joe has like these guests and he calls it like Save Our Parks. And originally, so he has him and a few other fucking comedians, and they originally set out this podcast where the goal was to raise awareness for these parks in New York.
Oh, nice.
What ended up happening was they got completely demolished. These parks had absolutely no chance of surviving, and the podcast brought no awareness whatsoever to anything, and they literally got demolished after the first fucking episode. But they continued calling it Save Our Parks.
Yeah.
So this podcast needs some sort of name that would transcend whatever the fuck we're doing.
That we're no longer bored.
It'll.
I'll let Milos come up with that name.
We'll figure it out. Post it.
It's like a playa name. Like at Burning Man, you get a playa name, but you can't make
it
yourself.
Oh, well, yeah. Before we do wrap up, explain
you get
this
your,
because
you get your playa name.
Yeah.
So like,
what is that? Yeah. What
so like the girl that I met.
Yeah.
She got her playa name first time after 6 years. And once it hits, it's
like a black belt in jujitsu. Like you have to earn.
You got to earn it, and it comes to you. And if it's right, it's right.
Yeah.
And like,
can you say her what her name was?
Yeah.
Her,
don't say it. Don't. No. Let's leave this as a mystery. This is way better.
I'll leave it anonymous.
It's fine. We've had a few G&Ts.
But her plan name is so perfect. Like
yours should be dictionary.
I don't even know her. I don't even know her that well, and I already know it's perfect for her, and she loves it, and it's like the best playa name.
Okay.
But yeah, you get these like playa names, because like you said, like it's nice to like name something, you know.
It is.
It's
huge.
Nice to give it this like
significance.
It's almost like this brand now.
Yeah.
Going like even Instagram, like Miller's the Savage. Like I started that, but it works, man.
I love it.
Like even in this camp with these Latinos, I was El Salvaje. When they heard that, they were like, "Fuck off!" You know, like Salvaje, like
Salvaje. Puta, no, esto. No.
Pendejo, Salvaje. Yeah, so.
No me fucking jodes.
So, fuck, man.
So the playa name is basically just like a nickname that's given to you while you're there. It's not like,
so
it's based off your identity. Yeah, who gives it to you? Good question. Don't fucking say the playa. I swear to God, Milo.
No, whatever. Spontaneous.
You reach into a whoever in the middle of the Burning Man, you suck out a fucking soul.
But it's like, if you don't want to be known as like, I don't want to go there and be like, oh, my name's Milo Savic, you know, I don't want, like, you can just be like, oh, my name's fucking
holy fuck.
You can become who you want.
That just clicked me. Savage Savic.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
That just fucking clicked to me, bro.
It's not.
Really? You didn't know that?
I did.
Yeah, it's a spin-off my last name.
Yeah,
my
it God. Just made sense when you said it that way. I'm retarded.
There's layers. Said a few.
Whoa, that made so much sense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, in grade school, when I would be like Savage, they'd be like, Savage? And I'd be like, no. And now I just use it to my advantage.
Wow, yeah, that's fucking
layers to this game, dude.
Wow. And I'm on the first layer. So the playa name is basically something that's given to you based off your experiences.
It comes off. Cool. Maybe you can give it to yourself, whatever, but it's kind of this thing where it just comes and
can't be that guy.
Do you have one yet?
Don't be giving yourself nicknames.
Do you have one yet?
I don't have a playa name yet. No.
Okay.
And honestly,
once you get to Spain, I'll give you a playa name.
It's honestly funny though, because like, I mean, not being in, as if I'm not in the Balkans, yeah. Milos is like pretty interesting enough.
Really? It's not common? It is. It's no, pretty unique. No, it's not common.
So in Balkans it is. Like I'm just Mike.
You're so regular. You're so like regular. Regular.
I'm yeah. Mike Smith. My first and last name doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Mm. But everyone else, like when I go in Milos, they're always like, whoa, where are you from? Whoa. Whatever. Yeah. So it's almost like I don't even need a play name. But who knows? One day maybe I'll get one. Because
yeah. Are you going next year?
Dude, I will try to go every year of
let's
my
go.
Life.
Nelly, let's go. Let's go. Let's make a pact right here, boys.
I will go every year of my life if I can.
Mm-hmm. I'm in.
But like I went 4 years ago. This was my and like you know, I want to go, but it's all about like timing, money, and whatever. But
fair enough.
I definitely want to go every year. It's the best thing you'll ever do.
Yeah. Beautiful. Signing off here, signing the off. Board with Nelly podcast.
Thanks again.
A fucking bye. What a trip. If everyone's listening all the way through this, amazing.
Good for you. Kudos.
It's so incoherent.